So Lockheed Martin wanted to divest itself from this material at a specific facility that's known to me that I provided to the inspector general, like street address, all that shit, right? And the idea was if they made a catcher's mitt, a security catcher's mitt for this shit, at, you know, most serious SAP possible, the contractor and the other government customer, which was the Central Intelligence Agency, for that specific Lockheed material, and it was shit that they recovered from like the 50s and stuff, and it was like bits and pieces of like hall structure, shit like that.
How could an, so if an aerospace, and I've heard this theory from very informed people, I don't think it's a theory, it sounds true, that if there are crash materials, and apparently there are, those reside in the custody of not the U.S. government, but of contractors that work for the U.S. government, aerospace defense contractors.
Right.
McDonnell Douglas, Lockheed, et cetera.
My kids actually ask the same question. And whenever I go on to business trips, I come home, they ask me, how are the aliens? Did I see the aliens? Things like that. So, yeah, do the aliens exist? That's a question for another time. But in terms of what we work on, yes, we do work on classified projects.
In the field of ufology, Lockheed Martin, the U.S.'s biggest and most advanced aerospace and defense corporation, has been intimately woven with the study of UFOs. From reverse engineering attempts to material storage, Lockheed's name comes up again and again and again, and is specifically name-dropped by credible individuals like David Grush and Gary Nolan, who we just saw. My friends, let's waste no time. I am your host, UAP Gerb, and join me today as we analyze Lockheed Martin's deep history of UFOs and utilize facts and records to uncover this infamous piece of the military-industrial complex's true involvement with the phenomenon. In 2021, late former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said during a New York Times interview, quote, "I was told for decades that Lockheed had some of these retrieved materials. I tried to get, as I recall, a classified approval by the Pentagon to have me go look at the stuff. They would not approve that. I don't know what all the numbers were, what kind of classification it was, but they would not give that to me." Before we try and uncover what Senator Reid was referencing, let's review some of Lockheed's accomplishments so we understand just how advanced this company is. With annual revenues around the 60s of billions of US dollars, over half of Lockheed's annual sales go to, of course, the DoD and DOE, and has completed feats of military engineering marvels, such as the creation of the SR-71 Blackbird, the F-22 Raptor, the F-16, and the F-17 Nighthawk. Lockheed has also contributed greatly to the space age of man, creating space shuttle propellants, designing manned maneuvering units for spacewalks, and lended key contributions to satellite creations, and much, much more. And we are all deeply familiar with the famed Skunk Works division that is intertwined with DoD special access programs, where top secret projects are conducted that result in vehicles that fly at Mach 3.2 at 100,000 feet, such as the SR-71, or the production of the first stealth fighter in the F-117. But what about projects deeper, or in an even more classified setting than the already shadowy Skunk Works? Lockheed Martin is legendary for having so much lore and whistleblowers surrounding the company's Black Division, but with an astonishingly thin paper trail and available evidence. You know me, guys, we will do whatever it takes to critically analyze and separate fact from fiction, but going into this, know that we don't have the same sort of records available to us as we did for Battelle. Lockheed Martin was not working closely with USAF and ATIC to investigate UFOs, and we don't have an exact paper trail of when Lockheed got UAP material or craft, so we will have to do our best to analyze all of the evidence. We'll start by reviewing some of the perplexing claims made by actual Lockheed Martin employees and head scientists, and yes, there are multiple and quite a few to review. Most who are familiar with Lockheed's connection to UFOs know about Ben Rich, the second Lockheed Skunk Works director and the father of the F-117. Just I'm sure as you guys know about his famed 1993 UCLA speech, where he allegedly stated, quote, "We already have the means to travel among the stars. but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do. I'm not here to push any unsubstantiated claims to back my thesis, guys. So, did you know there's actually no video or audio evidence of Ben saying this? This is not to claim this quote is fabricated or that Rich wasn't interested in UFOs, but these quotes are recorded by author Linda Moulton Howe, who is known to take some reportive liberties. However, this exact quote appears to be confirmed in a 2010 MUFON article by one Tom Keller. But quite the contrary, on the 10th of July, 1986, one John Alexander wrote to Director Rich to expand on his statement of being a, quote, believer in UFOs. Andrew proposes that there are two categories of UFO and is interested to get Rich's thoughts, man-made and extraterrestrial vehicles. In a response letter, Ben Rich replies, quote, "Dear John, yes, I'm a believer in both categories. I feel everything is possible. Many of our man-made UFOs are unfunded opportunities. In both categories, there are a lot of kooks and charlatans. Be cautious. Best regards, Ben Rich." Guys, please give me a congratulations for being able to decipher that cursive. It was not easy. The only discussion I can find around Rich's mentioned UCLA speech are some remarks made by MUFON director Jan Harzan, who actually attended the conference and can confirm some things that Rich said.
He ended his talk with a slide of a black disc zipping off in outer space. And he ended it with these words, "We now have the technology to take ET home." And the entire place broke up laughing. And Tom and I just looked at each other and said, did he really just say that? And are these people really not getting that what he's saying is real? So someone else asked the same question. So finally he said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to travel to the stars?" He asked this of a particular engineer who had asked him a question about his career. And the engineer said, "Well, I don't know. It'd just take a long time to get there." He said, "No, it wouldn't. We found an error in the equations, and we now know how to travel to the stars."
So we can't really confirm or deny Rich's supposed disclosure, but we can say that he did have an interest in understanding of man-made versus non-human intelligence UFOs. And next we have Don Phillips, who was an ex-Lockheed Skunk Works, USAF, and CIA contractor who told his story through Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project in 2001. And this is when Greer was still doing largely respectable work to push disclosure. Phillips directly claimed that Lockheed has extraterrestrial technology and, quote, "tremendous technological advances have come from their study." He also claimed in his interview with Greer the U.S. military did in fact acquire UFO craft from Roswell. Lockheed, quote, "really did put the technology to work." And Lockheed was intimately involved with anti-gravity research. All of these things Phillips claimed, but frustratingly, vetting Phillips' claimed background with Skunk Works and CIA has proved to be impossible for me. The only mention of Phillips I can find is a paper clipping from July 29th, 1965, which confirms Phillips' role in the Air Force as well as mentions him as a graduate of Pierce College. And fun fact, guys, this is the same college that we can actually factually verify Bob Lazar went to. So analyze Phillips' statements as you will. Personally, I view his role with Lockheed from a skeptical lens. I need verifiable proof that his role within the company was legitimate before I can judge more. However, some of the things he says about anti-gravity, Roswell, and reverse engineering UAP technology lines up almost exactly with some of the other gentlemen we're going to hear from. And next, we move on to a controversial but very verifiable figure, Boyd Bushman. Bushman's deathbed claims of working on UAP R&D for Lockheed released in 2014 and have become stuff of legend for UFO researchers. In this video, Boyd states that debris and materials were recovered from crash recoveries, plural, in New Mexico, likely Roswell and maybe the Kingman, Arizona crash. He comments on the company's work with anti-gravity and states his work on UAP craft concluded that these craft contain three key elements in their makeup: telluride, germanium, and palladium. Worthy to note is that these materials Bushman suggests comprise UAP could be used to create a thermoelectrical / photovoltaic generator with a semiconductor and capacitor, as pure germanium was the first metallic material to become a superconductor in the presence of an electromagnetic field. Palladium is crucial to capacitors, and telluride alloys have thermoelectric or photovoltaic properties. This isn't crucial to know, you don't need to be a material scientist, but this sort of material science lends some credence to what Bushman claimed. Please feel free to view the whole testimony. Of course, the video will be in the description, but I want to focus on Bushman himself. Boyd is a verified senior specialist and top secret SEI SAP cleared employee that served in Lockheed Department 610-8, the Special Programs Division. In 1999, Bushman came under FBI investigation for suspicious foreign contact. Lockheed became concerned about the potential of Boyd sharing sensitive information with what appears to be contacts in Prague, and it's unknown if all of this contact was UAP related or not. But from our investigation, it looks like Boyd was contacting members in Prague to learn more about anti-gravity. Bushman was awarded numerous patents, including strangely in 1997, a patent for a device that creates a magnetic monopole beam that emits, pulses, levitates, degausses, stops electronics, and separates materials. Monopoles currently are not proven to exist in the public or physics sector and are an incredibly interesting topic. I recommend checking out this video by PBS Spacetime if you want to learn more about magnetic monopoles. But Boyd was the real deal, right? Well, yeah, except for the alien bodies he showed in photographs. The tiny-looking gray creature can be traced back to a toy model, originally claimed by an above-top-secret forum thread in 2008 to be a Kmart Halloween decoration from the late 1990s. No verifiable evidence can be drawn to the toy's listing, however, this is not a great look for Bushman. Whether purposeful or accidental disinformation, I'm not sure. But with the presence of the two, we are faced with three options. That some government agency had some toy company that made models make up alien toys that appeared similar to the real aliens that resided in Area 51 or Groom Lake. So that if photos were ever leaked like they were with Bushman, they could leak photos of the toy as a way to discredit any whistleblower. Option two is that the photo of the model alien was given to Bushman in order to discredit him and take away from his story. And three, of course, Boyd purposefully pushed the photo of the toy for whatever reason. And now we arrive to the last and probably the best and most credible speaker with regards to employment in Lockheed, Bernard Haish. PhD astrophysicist Haish performed astonishing work for Lockheed, including the publishing of a paper for the Lockheed Martin Advanced Technology Center with physicist Hal Puthoff. The paper focused on zero-point energy of the quantum vacuum. The study specifically looked at one or more resonant frequencies that may be associated with quantum vacuum interaction for propulsion purposes. I'll mention this again soon, so keep that study in mind. In 2001, Haish wrote an essay titled Black Special Access Programs. He had created a site called ufoskeptic.org. Don't let this site name fool you. He just wanted scientists to come together to analyze UAP with a little bit more of a critical lens. To respect our time, I am just going to summarize this article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Haish essentially confirms the world we came to know in 2023 with the revelations of David Grush, that these black special access programs on crash retrieval and reverse engineering can be quite independent of any given administration. And it's unrealistic to think that Freedom of Information Act requests and even presidential administrations can penetrate and read into these programs. That over time, these black budget programs become extremely independent. And to trace their origin, instead of intelligence, they most likely fall under the Office of the Undersecretary for Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. What is even more astounding, however, are the comments Haish made to the public. In 2018, after the existence of ATIP was revealed to the American public, he said, quote, "The following is conjecture. Sources tell me that this is merely the tip of the iceberg. A group of four related but separate unacknowledged SCI programs tracing back to a 1947 Truman memorandum still exist and were housed, as of the 1990s, Guys, remember the Wilson-Davis memo and the reorganization of SAPs in that time? And major aerospace companies such as, for example, Lockheed, TRW, Raytheon, Aerospace Corps, etc. These would be expensive programs since the cost of secrecy can be several times higher than research. The ATIP program has no relation to these four, much better funded, deep, black ones. Indeed, the black programs collectively have budgets in the $10 billion range and up. Topics apparently include both reverse engineering and extraterrestrial biology. The ATIP did find the UFO crash retrieval program via official channels, but was denied access to it because ATIP itself is not a SAP. Senator Harry Reid petitioned the DOD to confer SAP status to ATIP, but the DOD denied his request. And lastly, guys, while not a Lockheed employee, let's take a look at USAF Master Sergeant Edgar Fausch. Fausch has made some astounding statements on Lockheed with some really weird evidence to back it. In 1998, the Master Sergeant states he temporarily worked at the Defense Advanced Research Center, DARS, in 1979, which he claims is a facility beneath Groom Lake with at least 10 underground stories. Fausch states he was recruited to DARS while working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory at Edwards Air Force Base. He claimed that triangular craft had been reverse engineered by UAP, contracted by none other than Lockheed Martin. The sergeant coined the now famous term the TR-3B, which is synonymous with human-made reverse engineered triangular-shaped craft, and states three prototypes have been reverse engineered by efforts at Sandia and Livermore, dating back to the early 1990s, and was the first attempt at a gravity warping craft. What is truly wild here is we can confirm not only Fausch's military record, but also the fact he was actually stationed at the famed Area 51. Look here, guys. Ed was assigned to DET 3 AFFTC, which is the organization at the Air Force Flight Test Center responsible for operations at Area 51 Groom Lake. But of course, Ed's lying because the DARS, the Defense Advanced Research Center, is not part of DARPA, right? Well, look, guys, a declassified study from the Advanced Research Project Agency, ARPA, shows advanced aerospace projects were performed by Wernher von Braun's team at the Army Ballistic Missile Agency, ABMA. A draft by the DoD directive shows the ABMA was considered for a transfer into a, quote, Defense Advanced Research Center that would be inherently linked to JPL. It's unconfirmed if DARS was actually created and if any advanced aerospace concepts from von Braun made their way there, but look guys, DARS is actually a theoretical place. As mentioned by Bushman, Haish, and Phillips, Lockheed has engaged with some incredibly strange and exotic technologies that appear like they're straight out of science fiction. Can we confirm any of this work like anti-gravity or strange propulsion methods? Well, in 1955, physicist Lew Witten states that he was recruited by one George Trimble, the current VP for Aviation and Advanced Propulsion Systems at the Glenn L. Martin Company. The Glenn L. Martin Company eventually evolved into Martin Marietta, which merged with Lockheed in 95. Anyways, Witten states that he was recruited into the Research Institute for Advanced Studies, the RIAS. Witten stated that Trimble recruited him to help develop anti-gravity, and in 2013 actually stated that the team discovered techniques to harness anti-gravity in this project. Witten suggested several ideas were tested, including utilizing an isotope of bismuth, but he does not expand on this. And shocking enough, we actually have the journal evidence to prove that this research took place. And if you want to see Lew Witten talk about this, look at the link I've provided and go to about an hour 49:22. The anti-gravity rabbit hole runs deep, way deeper than the discussion by Bushman, Phillips, and Fausch. I'll cover this in another time, guys, because the anti-gravity starting in about 1955, this research is fascinating. But remember how I mentioned in 1998, Haish and Puthoff published a paper on zero-point energy in the quantum vacuum? If you don't know, real fast, zero-point energy is the lowest possible energy level or ground state in a quantized electromagnetic field which interacts with a physical system of particles. In a quantum vacuum, vacuums must always crackle with fluctuations in the quantum field that fill it. These never-ending fluctuations imbue every field with some minimum amount of energy, known as the zero point energy. Guys, you don't need to pay attention to that. Just know that this is pretty breakthrough stuff, but theoretically impossible, zero point energy. But if you look to 2017, inventor Salvador Pais and the Naval Air Station were awarded a patent for a similar concept for a triangular shaped craft that utilized specific frequencies to interact with the quantum vacuum and generate anti-gravitic capabilities. Sounds like UAP, right? Well, on the 22nd of August 1998, now retired Lieutenant Colonel Ron Blackburn of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works and co-founder of the ATP group at BDM International was awarded a patent for technology that increased aerodynamic and hydrodynamic efficiency of a vehicle in motion that includes a sketch of a disc. Several years later, Blackburn states on a podcast he reverse engineered the capabilities to eliminate sonic booms at high speeds by using videos of disc-shaped craft he had access to. Guys, think about this. This has multiple of the observables of UAP by Lou Elizondo. The ability to operate in transmedium, remember the hydrodynamic and aerodynamic efficiency, as well as travel at Mach speeds without the presence of a sonic boom. This sounds like UAP technology. Guys, this is a UAP group video, so let's analyze all the documents we can. Believe it or not, Lockheed has had some interesting encounters with official USG record keeping, such as this 1953 UFO sighting, where Lockheed test pilots and ground crew observe a flying disc with anomalous acceleration characteristics. Three men also swore this sighting as testimony. The sighting was submitted to Blue Book, but was never listed again, curiously. And guys, think back to my video on the Wilson Davis memo, where Wilson Davis states the watch committee of the Black UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering program he discovered within the SAP logs told him they were almost outed due to an audit. Well, check this out, guys. On the 24th of July, 1986, the director of the U.S. General Accounting Office, GAO's National Security and International Affairs Division, Frank C. Conahan, testified at a subcommittee on oversight and investigation. Conahan stated that Lockheed exhibited a poor document control system, overclassified special access documents, and had zero oversight from the DoD program office. It was then that the GAO stated the Defense Investigation Service was actually not allowed to conduct the semi-annual inspects of the aerospace contract in question, and 1,460 discrepancies were found in an inventory of 40,000 documents with Lockheed. An estimated 46 documents were destroyed and 17 were transferred out of the company and were never discovered. Guys, this sounds extremely suspicious, the poor document control system of Lockheed and somehow missing 46 documents and a full 1,460 discrepancies. Well, this strangeness and Lockheed's hand in deep special access programs above even DoD oversight does not end here. In June of 2004, former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Catherine Austin Fitz wrote a paper titled The Black Budget of the United States. This paper says that, quote, a large proportion of the nation's wealth is being illegally diverted into secret, unaccountable channels to support clandestine domestic military R&D. She states she discovered evidence that Lockheed Martin information systems were responsible for the obfuscation of justice and may have data on the siphoned DoD funds. Lockheed at this time was one of the subcontractors to IBM as hired by the Pentagon to manage systems that failed a GAO audit. So we have to think, all of this taking place, all of Lockheed's kind of shadiness around DoD and mistracking of funds, are they involved with the audit as spoke about in the Wilson Davis memo? And to add the icing on top here, guys, in 2000, Commander Will Miller, yes, the same Miller from the Wilson Davis memo, told attorney Peter Gersten that senior government officials such as a DIA director are isolated from UAP knowledge. Quote, the keepers of the secrets reside in DoD middle management and civilian contractors like SAIC, Boeing, and Lockheed, and are basically the comptrollers who monitor the flow of money to certain classified and special access programs. black triangles are a legendary shape of UFO seen for decades, and are the responsible craft behind the 1989 Belgian UFO wave. Well, what if I told you that there's a paper trail of evidence that suggests this black triangle, commonly known as the TR-3B, is actually a Lockheed Martin UAP reverse engineering program called Project Astra or Aurora? The first mention we can find of Aurora is in the Department of Defense's fiscal year 1986 and 1987, where $80 million was planned to be spent on an Aurora program in 86 and $2.3 billion in 87. For reference, this was more than double the cost of the B-2 Spirit bomber. In fact, in 1997, John Greenwald of the Black Vault inquired into Aurora, but was denied any sort of access. Then, in the late 1990s, we can go back to author Nick Cook of The Hunt for Zero Point, who interviewed former head of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works Jack Gordon. While leaving the plant in Palmdale, Nick Cook saw a large chart illustrating the lineage of every Skunk Works aircraft since the XP-80. Past the Dark Star, which is the plane in the film Top Gun Maverick, there was something called Astra, an ultra-high-speed reconnaissance craft that looked triangular in shape, and it looked similar to some of the triangles seen in Belgium in the early 90s. And when Cook asked, Gordon was flustered and denied Astra was anything but an old airliner. And while we're here, let's not forget about the triangle-shaped craft Fausch claimed Lockheed Possession was actively reverse engineering at DARS. And do you guys remember the release of the Calvine UFO photo in 2022-2023, which was taken in Scotland and depicts a large triangle diamond-shaped UFO that was referenced by the British Ministry of Defense? Well, if you look closely at former Project Condon, that was the Ministry of Defense's official UFO investigation program, the Calvine UFO photo is listed as Astra/Aurora photos, among other 35mm slides that don't appear on this last file. This could be very significant, as in this same MOD Condon report, the Brits were interested in investigating UAP sourced from USG contractor projects, and this Aurora/Astra may be listed here. What's even more interesting to note, this Condon report took special interest of triangle sightings, as seen here in the executive summary page of the report. And it appears the British had taken a keen interest in Aurora or Astra as a USG UAP triangle craft reverse engineered, because back in the 22nd of December 1992, the British Embassy in Washington, D.C. wrote to Assistant Chief of Air Staff in London regarding the USG's reaction to triangular UAP sightings, specifically a sighting that occurred 3 years earlier by a British Royal Observer Corps member. This investigation into USAF caused, quote, considerable irritation by the Brits. And the British officials who monitored the USG reaction are quoted as saying Secretary of the Air Force, Donald B. Rice, was, to say the least, incensed by the renewed speculation that he had lied to Congress by stating that Aurora did not exist. So as we can see, guys, a lot more work needs to be done investigating Aurora/Astra, but these strings connect triangular-shaped craft to both Lockheed Martin and USAF, and that the British MOD had a keen interest in finding out what the heck these things were. What's up, guys? I hope you enjoyed this look into Lockheed Martin and UAPs. As you can see after watching this video, there are a ton of public figures who make pretty bold claims about Lockheed. And while these claims are most likely true as confirmed by Grush and other key people, it's really hard to actually get to the bottom of this. If you see, our paper trail is not exceedingly long. We have Lockheed Martin interacting with Blue Book in the 50s, and we have our audit trail that, you know, very likely is involved with the audit mentioned in the Wilson-Davis memo, that the Watch Committee had to basically reorganize SAP status in the 90s to hide themselves better. But what do you guys think? Is Lockheed as much of a player in the reverse engineering and material exploitation of UAP as Patel? I personally think so, yes, but they are just a lot harder to track down. As our nation's largest defense contractor, I imagine they have some pretty darn good record systems to keep stuff like this out. What did you guys think of the witnesses? I'd say
order of most credible to least credible, we got Bernard Haish, Boyd Bushman, and Don Phillips. Don Phillips, it's unfortunate I can't verify his background, so it's really hard for me to take his word as gospel. Boyd Bushman, a really interesting witness, says some interesting things, but the toy alien, more analysis needs to be done there, but quite frankly, I'm not sure where to go from there. But in addition, the Aurora Astra could be its own hour-long documentary. But I just wanted to do a summary, an overview of what's going on, because there's a lot more to Aurora Astra, including aerospace illustrator Mark McCandlish seeing something called the TR-3B or the triangular-shaped craft in Lockheed Martin while leaving a facility and so forth. So there's a lot more to dive into, guys. Maybe I'll do that someday, but I need a little bit more information on Aurora Astra, some concrete information to make another video. Because this video is a lot of speculation for what I like, pushing the boundaries of speculation versus fact. But this was an exhausting list of facts and data to make, so please give a like and subscribe, and I will catch you guys on the next show. And before you go, in victory or defeat, I support the best athlete in the world, Alexander Volkanovsky. Goodbye, everybody.